So we left off yesterday. We were discussing the two different possible kulas by Rabbi Matzei, where I can own chametz, or at least a halachic equivalent of owning chametz. And Ava Bichain is a possibility of not violating by Rabbi Matzei if the chametz is not in my house, not in my location. One was based in Agamara. Ragamah was talking about Chomet Shekibel of Achrayas, going to most Rishonim. Yichud L'Bayas, I say to the non-Jew, I'll watch your Chomet's field. I'll be responsible if something happens to it. But this is your corner of the basement. This is for you. Yichud L'Bayas, you hang out here. You come pick up your Chomet's whenever you want. Yichud L'Bayas. So according to most Rishonim, that's a mafki of the Yisra by Rabbi Motzi. Then we have the example of the Michalta, where I take my Chomet's and I bring it to the Goy's house and I put it there. And the Mechota says, that's also okay. At least Ben HaTorah, that's also right. That's also not called by Rabbi Motzei, because it's not B'vateichem. So we had two different examples. One appears in the Gemara, and one was the Mechota. So we saw already yesterday in the Rishonim that there were some Rishonim who were much more comfortable with paskening what it says in the Gemara, Talmud Bavli, and a little bit weary about extending it as far as the Mechota went. Because there was a big difference between the two cases. The case in our Sugya in Talmud Bavli was talking about chametz. It's not really mine in the first place. The Emes says it's really the Goy's chametz to start with. The only mechayev by Rabbi Motzei was the Kabbalah Sechrayus. So, whereas in the case of the Mechulta, we're talking about real bona fide Jewish owned chametz. So one could argue that when it comes to the watered down ownership of chametz, the chametz which was not really mine anyway, doesn't have my name on the chametz, it's just based on Kabbalah Sechrayus. So maybe for Kabbalah Sechrayus to get chametz, putting it into a goy's house or a shul Yichud L'Bayis is going to work. Whereas when it comes to real Jewish chametz, it's not going to work. So we had that possibility out there. Somebody showed him, suggested, the Ramban even suggested such a possibility. And the question is that chiluk correct or not? You know, very often in learning, so we say, oh, this case is not like this. There's a chiluk, there's a difference. So you have to analyze, is the chiluk important or not? Stop to make chilukim and populim and say, no, A is not like B. A doesn't have to be exactly like B. A has to be similar to B. So you have to really, really figure out the nuances. Are A and B close enough or not? So comes the Taz. It's a long, long Taz. We're not going to have a chance to read it together. We're going to have a chance in the 7th day of Ramakoma. We'll have a chance later today. So the Taz develops the following fundamental yisod, really to put a whole perspective on our entire sugya. Says the Taz, going back to a Chakir that we mentioned at the end of the shiur yesterday, Yesh Lachkor. What's the nature of the din that Kabbalah Sechrayus is a mechaver by Rabbi Motzei? You can understand it one of two ways. Either you can understand that I really should not be over. It's not my chometz. According to the rules of Choshev Mishpat, it's not mine. Kach Nemar Alocha Chiddush HaTorah, that you're over by Rabbi Motzei without ownership. It is possible to be over by Rabbi Motzei without owning the chometz. What's Pshat now? What the Torah is saying is that this is called ownership. This is considered to be halachically yours. Why? Even though it's true, it's not yours in the conventional way, but Lamaisa, you're suffering the loss. It's your Kabbalah Sechrayus, you're responsible. So it's enough yours to violate by Rabbi Motzei. So it sounds like semantics. What's the difference? At the end of the day, you're over. What's the difference whether zochtazoy, whether we say that it's a Chiddush HaTorah without ownership, or the Torah's redefined ownership? So comes the Taz and says, he thinks that that's going to make all the difference in the world. Why? If you hold that the violation by Rabbi Motzei on Kabbalah Sechrayus to get chometz, it's not yours. This is a mechudish tikkun by Rabbi Motzei. This is such a chiddush, it doesn't make any sense, it breaks all the rules. Kach nemar halacha, what can I do? So when the Torah gives you this unbelievable chiddush tikkun way of violating by Rabbi Motzei, the fact that the Torah gives you a chiddush tikkun kula, that it's okay as long as it's Yichud L'Bayis, how in the world are we going to extrapolate that kula to real by Rabbi Motzei? If you're going to tell me that there really is no reason to violate by Rabbi Motzei because it's not yours, you're only over because the Torah is making believe and saying that, oh, you're over anyway, even though it's not really yours. So, easy come, easy go. If the Torah says a mechudish tikkun by Rabbi Motzei has a mechudish tikkun kula of just sticking it in the guy's corner, how in the world are you going to compare that to real bona fide Jewish owned chametz to say that handing it off to the guy is going to help? But if you learn pshat that that Kabbalah Sacharias is yours. So the Torah is just simply redefined Bibles. The Torah is just giving you a new Shia, Sif Yud Aleph in Chesh Mishpat, just telling another prat in Chesh Mishpat in a moment is. So that this is regular by Rabbi Matzai. There is no difference between my violation by Rabbi Matzai and Yenim's violation by Rabbi Matzai. What's the difference? I own it, quote unquote, and he owns it. What's the difference? The Afal Pichain, the Torah says, Yichel Abayis is okay. Afal Pichain, the Talmud Bavli Darshan's from Matzai, probably Yichel Abayis. If Yichel Abayis works for real by Rabbi Matzai, then it works for real by Rabbi Matzai. If it works for Kabbalah Zacharias, which is real, authentic, super duper by Rabbi Matzah in the fullest sense of the word, because this is called Bailus. We had a misconception. We thought we learned Chashim Mishpat. Until we learned Pesach HaDavav, we had a misunderstanding of what Bailus means. Now the Torah opens up our eyes and tells us that this is also called Bailus. The Afa Bichain, if it's Eino Matzli, if it's Yichel Abayis, it's okay. So then what's the difference between that and real Om Chum? It's real Jewish Om Chum. So says the Taz, that the Shailim the Rishonim, should we take the Bavli and then hold on to the Mechilta also? Or can we split between the two? Really boils down to this fundamental Chakira. So who are the Bavli plucked in this Chakira? Usually you have a Chakira like this, you think, oh, it must be Mechilta Ram and Ravid, must be Mechilta Rashi and Taisvis, must be Mechilta Rav Chaim and the Ktois. No, says the Taz. You know what's a Mechilta? It's Mechilta Tanoim, it's Mechilta Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan. It goes to the heart and soul of everything we've been talking about literally for the last 3 weeks. When we first introduced the sugya of Kabbalah Zacharias, so the Gemara says, really? Kabbalah Zacharias is a mechayev by Rabbi Matzai? Ha nichal Rabbi Shimon desfirle davra germ lemamon is kemamon dami. El Rabbanan ma'ikal lememar. We have to put ourselves back in the pre-Pesach mode. There was a machlekes Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan about nothing to do with chametz, absolutely zero to do with chametz. It had to do with the general question of bailus in halacha. A makdish, I take a neder to bring an animal as a korban. I set aside this animal to be brought as a korban, and then something happens to the animal. The animal gets stolen. Is that gan of chayv kefil to be or not? What's the shayla? Am I the bala korban? So come to Rabbanan and say, you're not the bala korban. Hekdash is the bala korban. Once you set aside that animal, it's not yours anymore. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Kefel to the base of Mikdash, but you're crazy. Sham Shnayim Ayuksiv, Lola Hekdesh. The Guru Mibase Ish, Lola Mibase Hekdesh. Of course, there's no Kefel to the base of Mikdash property. Comes the Tanur Rabbi Shimon and says, no, I'm the Bailam. Why? Because I have a vested interest in this animal. It's called the Dovra Germ Lamaman. If something happens to this animal, I'm going to have to repay the base of Mikdash. I took an ender, so I have responsibility to this animal. Let's call the Dovra Germ Lamaman. Dovra Germ Lamaman is Kemaman Dami. Rabbi Shimon says, I am the bialim of this animal. And therefore, when the animal gets stolen, Yishalim Shnayim L'Reyu, I'm the recipient of the kefil. So comes the Gemara and says, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, the Dover Gerem L'Mamon is K'mamon Dami. So I understand why there's by Rabbi Matzev, the Chomet Shul Kabbalah Zacharias. Because Chomet Shul Kabbalah Zacharias is the Dover Gerem L'Mamon. Mr. Brown gives me some schnapps to watch. It's not mine, but if something goes wrong, I'm going to have to reimburse him. That's called a gerim lemamon. So just plug in the words. Dever gerim lemamon kemamon dami. That chametz is my chametz. According to Rabbi Shimon, I understand what Kabbalah Zacharias is a mechayev. But according to the Rabbanan Michael Meimar, the Rabbanan tucked away in the seventh paragraph of Bava Kama, who say you don't pay kefel to the kachim shechayev yachrusyan. So why is there by Rav Matzah for Kabbalah Zacharias? Answer the Gemara. Shaniachad eksiv lo yimotzah. It's exer sakosav. Don't ask any kashas. So comes the Taz and says, this shayla, this chakir that we have, what the nature of Kabbalah Zacharias is good for the machlokes, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Shimon, there's nothing different about chametz. There's no manishtana chametz as emikol isurim. Chametz is on par with all other dini Torah. All other areas of halacha that require bailos, davar gram l'mamon is sufficient. It's good enough for kefil, good enough for dal v'hei, good enough for chametz. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's nothing new going on here. I don't even need a pasuk here. There's nothing chudish going on by chametz. It's the same plain old din tucked away in Bava Kama in the seventh parak. Dever gerem l'mamon kemamon dami. If so, that according to Rabbi Shimon, the violation by Rabbi Matzai is plain and simple. It's not chudish. The afa pichein, the halacha says yichel abayis is good. So you see from here, according to Rabbi Shimon, yichel abayis solves real bona fide bayira. According to Rabbi Shimon, Kabbalah Zacharias of chametz is real bayira. It's not lower level, it's not second tier bayira. It's absolute primary example of bayira v'matzeh. V'yavapichein, Yichel Abayi says, okay. Then there's a very, very short jump to the Mechota. The Mechota is also true. What's the difference between whether it's Kabbalah Sechra'is Tikkun Chometz or real Jews Chometz? Because Kabbalah Sechra'is Chometz is real Jews Chometz. Yichel Abayi works. Giving it to the Goy works. The Mechota is an extension of the Gemara. But according to the Rabbanan, who say that Kabbalah Sechra'is is a Chiddush, and it really breaks the rules. It doesn't follow the regular rules of Bailos and Baba Kama. So in that newfangled world of Kabbalah Sechra'is, which is unique, Gzeres HaKosav by Rabbi Batzai, and the Torah gives us a Kula, Yichel Abayis, how do you know to extrapolate that to the Mechilta? Very nice, how do you know when the Mechilta is right or not? So comes the Taz to the punchline. Comes the Taz and says that we have a Mechilta. There's no question the Mechilta says that it's okay. So it's a little gutsy just to argue with the Mechilta just like that. Says the Taz, no, it's not. The Mechilta was written by the Tanoim. It's very possible that the Tana who wrote this line, the Mechilta, was following the worldview of Rabbi Shimon. Maybe it was Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who was the author of this statement, author of this Shita in the Mechilta. So the fact that there are some Tanoim who apply the rule of Yichel Abayis, who apply the rule of Vateichem Lamait, you know, Bayish Al Akum, the fact that there are some Tanoim who say that, that doesn't concern me. I know there are Tanoim who say that. His name is Rabbi Shimon. I also know, says the Taz, that we don't pass Rabbi Shimon. In Chashem Mishpan, we don't pass Rabbi Shimon. All the other Rabbanim disagreed with Rabbi Shimon. So, yes, there's a Mechilta. But no, we don't pass like the Mechilta. So, the Halacha L'maisa, says the Taz, we fall back on this middle ground. When it comes to Kabbal Shal, Chamesh Shal Kabbal Secharias, you want to be Mekel Yichel Abayis Zolzayin. You want to be Mekel on real Jewish Chometz, just say, I don't have to sell my Chometz. Why waste my time going to the rabbi train? I'll pick up a couple of bottles of schnapps and just drop it off at Mr. Brown's house. I'm not giving it to him as a matana. Just ask him to hold on to it till the end of Pesach. That's by Rabbi Matzi Deraisa. That's not when Mechilta is not accepted the halacha. So when all the dust settles, says the Taz, this whole discussion that we're having, is the Mechilta right? Is the Mechilta accepted or not accepted? At the end of the day, is a machlekes. It's the age old, it's the same machlekes we're talking about. It's the age old machlekes that we're talking about. There is one last akuda in our sugya before this sort of segues into the next sugya. That's like more on the eighth of the Marmakamos, where the Gemara tells us, Tachlis, I have a goy's chometz in my rishus. Bottom line is, I have a goy's chometz in my rishus, so basically, what do I do about that? So comes the Gemara in the eighth of the Marmakamos. It's the second line. V'am Rav Yudam Arav. Chemtza shol nochri, osu lo mechitza sar tvachim ishim heker. V'yim shol hekti shu en atzarech, my time amedo b'dili en shiminei. Says Rav Yudam Arav, if I have a goy's chometz in my rishus, I have to make a mechitza of 10 tfachim separating myself from the chametz. What's the purpose of that mechitza? So the pashtus of the Gemara is that just to remind me not to eat the chametz. It's very nice being a Torah that I have the goyis chametz there, but tachlis, imagine I sit down to the Seder and I have a box of cookies of the goyis sitting on my Seder table. And I go to the closet to get out my matzahs, and there's a bottle of schnapps there. I open up my freezer to get my ice cream, and there's a box of pizza there. So it's all really nice and dandy that Min HaTorah, none of it is my chametz, but to say that there's a concern, Shem Yevel Yachlo, I think would be an understatement. So therefore, Mid Rabbanan, you have to make a mechitza 10 tefachim, which if you think about exactly what we do, when we sell our chametz to the Goyim, so now we have chametz al Acham in our Rishos, we don't just leave it in the closet. We don't just leave it in the counters, you know, in the cabinets. We lock it up in a closet. We tape it up. We put it in a room. We close the door. We make a mechitza asar tefachim. Some people are a little bit not so careful about this. Some people, they want to sell stuff. They want to leave it in the freezer. They want to leave it. They have some pizzas. They're waiting for Matzah Pesach. So they leave things in the freezer, leave things in the fridge. So that's not such a good idea. You're really supposed to have mechitza 10 tefachim. Maybe one could argue, if I make some other kind of a heker, what if I wrap it up and I put a garbage bag on and I write chametz, maybe, I don't know. The Gemara says he's supposed to make a mechitza 10 tefachim. That's the lashon of Chazal. Very often things that we leave in the fridge and the freezer are not chametz anyway. They're just kitnias. So kitnias, there's nobody writing chametz kitnias, and there's no Shem Yevel Yochel in kitnias. So kitnias you can leave around. Common sense dictates that you shouldn't leave your frozen corn, you know, together with your kosher Pesach stuff, because you may even though it's not the formal Shem Yavel Yochlo, but just obviously it doesn't make too much sense. So for that, you can just put a little note on it, you know, not for Pesach. I always have this dilemma every year when we have a few things, come the odds and ends, that are left in the fridge, in the freezer, that are just pure rakinios. So I can't bring myself to write on it, Chometz. It's a checker. Number one, a checker. And number two, should be Chashash at the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim that when a Beis Din makes a din derabanan, so you have to tell everyone it's derabanan. If you misrepresent the Torah, the Rambam writes, that's an Isra Bal Tosif. So if the rabbi gets up and announces it's also been a Torah to eat corn on Pesach, you're not allowed to do that. You have to tell people it's not chometz, it's kinyan, so it's a minhag, whatever. You have to, I'm not making that announcement, I'm just writing in my own fridge, but I can't bring myself to write the words chometz as something that's only kinyan. So on the other hand, you know, write kinyan, because it's a long word, someone may not notice it. So I write in a big underline, not 100 times, not for Pesach, not for Passover use, and hopefully the message will get across. Anyway, get back to the story. So we follow this practice of Chomet Shel Akum, just making Mechitza Yod, and finished. The Gemara just says if it happens to be Chomet Shel Hekdesh, you don't have to worry about it, because no one's going to eat Hekdesh. Everyone knows Hekdesh is basically mixed. People get nervous, it's holy, so no one's going to make a mistake and eat it. But Chomet Shel Akum, you have to make a Mechitza 10 Tvachim. So the Pashtus HaDvarim in this sugi is that the Mechitza of 10 Tvachim that's required here is only solving a Derabonetic problem. It's not solving a Deraisidic problem. The Deraisidic problem is long ago solved. Shalchoya Taroy, but Taroy Shalacherim. If that's the case, then obviously the Chometz in question here is not Kabbal Zacharias. If there's Kabbal Zacharias, then you have a Deraisidic problem. How in the world is putting up a symbolic gesture of a wall going to solve a Deraisidic problem by Rabbi Motzei? So the simple Pshat of the Sugya is that when the Gemara says that all that's necessary is a Mechitza Ten Tvachim, Just whoever's not muted, if it could possibly just mute. So when the Gemara says that a mechitza ten tefachim solves the world's problems, that's because the problem wasn't so serious in the first place. Deraisa, we were long gone because it's shalchayet arav, the rosh shalchayim, there's no kabbal zacharias. The derabon and shemiyav liyachl, we solve them in the mechitza. But if it would be kabbal zacharias, the game would be over. That's the pashas in the sugya. So the Ran in the ninth of the Rambam Kumas quotes a startling opinion, v'achirim pirshu. And there was some anonymous Rishonim who had a different Pshat in the Gemara. The Oisel and Mechitza serve a Sagi Behochi, Afal Gav, the Kabbal Echrayus. Even though you were Mechabal Echrayus, that's also okay. Why is that all right? Shekevin, Sheyichel, Mokom, Sula, Mek, Gvul, Chabadach, Shabash, the Mala. Asiyas Mechitza is the halach equivalent of Yichel, Mokom. What does it mean? I made a Mechitza. It means I put up a wall and said, Mr. Non-Jew, this is your corner. I'm not going there. This is yours. This is my Yichel Abayas. So according to the Achaim and the Ran, Asiyas Mechitza solves two problems. It solves the Deraisidic problem because it creates the model of Yichel Abayas. And number two, it solves the Derabonetic problem of Shem Yavel Yochlo. So most Rishonim are very weary about that. That's called Yichel Abayas. We're not even sure that's right. We're not even sure that Yichel Abayas even works for Kabbal Zacharias. That's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So most of the Rishonim don't learn Pshat like this Zacharim in the Ran. But this anonymous opinion in the Ran is a throwback, to falling back on everything we've been talking about until now. So Kopanim, we finished. We'll see in a minute what I mean when I say we finished the sugya. We finished the chometz part of the sugya, but there's something in the sugya that's still glaring that has to be analyzed, which really actually sets the stage for the next sugya. It's really a whole another sugya, even though the next set of marmakomos weren't printed yet. The first marmakom of the next sugya is the same as the first marmakom of this sugya. So we'll just go to my friend. So we'll read it over here, make him believe that we're really in number. We're in 24. Oh, you have 24. Okay. Oh, truth, we don't. The emphasis, we don't really need it. It's really the first. It's the first one. Okay. So let's go back to the first in the marmakomos, where the Gemara has just developed for us this principle of Yichel Abayas. And l'chora, the nature of Yichel Abayas is basically saying that when a miyachid Abayas to the non-Jew, it's kind of his. It's not really mine anymore. It's not Pateichem anymore. I've already delegated that corner of the house to him. I put up that wall. I gave him his corner in the basement. So I've basically kind of transferred ownership in that area to the non-Jew. So comes the Gemara with the following statement. The first of the Rambam Kamos. It's the fourth line. Shenemaloi motzivateichem. V'halavdi dehu. That the chometz is not in my house. The Nachri ki kamaya lebeis ad nafshi kamaya. When the guy is going into the house, he's going into his house. So asks the Gemara a very, very powerful question. Lemeimra deschirus kanya? That relationship between the Jew who's the real owner of the house and the non-Jew who has been given rights to use a corner of the house, what exactly is the halachic relationship? What is that all about? How would we define that halachic relationship? Says the Gemara, that's the halach equivalent of like a schirus. It's like a rental. I didn't sell that corner of my house to the non-Jew. Next week I'm going to tell him to please get lost. I don't want him here till Shavuos. I wanted him here for a couple of days of Pesach. So I never sold him the area. What I did is that I made an arrangement, a financial arrangement with him, that he has the schuyos, he has the rights to use that area for a short amount of time. We have a name for that, it's called a rental. So that's exactly, when I rent an apartment, that's what I'm doing. I rent an apartment in the following building. The building owns the apartment. They never transferred ownership of the apartment to me. They simply entered into an arrangement, we call it a lease. I was soicher the bias, I was soicher the apartment for 6 months. So that's what's happening over here. Whether the non-Jew is paying for the yichud habayis is really irrelevant, because she'ela and tzchirus are identical to one another. It's just that one pays and one doesn't. So when I rent you a car, I still own the car, I'm renting the car. When I lend you a car, I still own the car, I'm lending you the car. So to over here, when I give the non-Jew the rights to use the house, yichud habayis, the most that is in halacha is a tzchirus. It's not a hakkanah, it's not a nisi, it's not a mechira, it's simply a tzchirus. And says the Gemara, Lemein with this chirus kanya. It would appear from the formulation of this halacha that yichud habayis solves by Rav Motzei, as the Gemara said before, lo yimotzei vateichem alav didehu, that's not vateichem. It would sound like the halacha is viewing the relationship of a masker and a secher as a kinyan. So that's a loaded cheshi mishpat question. When I rent the car, who owns the car? We spoke about this yesterday, about whose name is on the registration. Who owns the car? Who owns the house? Who owns that room? So the Gemara says that from the fact that you're telling me that it solves the Bayrov and Motzei problems, because it's no longer Vatechem, it sounds like the Soicher is Kanya. Lameimah the Schir is Kanya. Is that true? So the Gemara comes from left field and brings you a Mishnah from Maseches Avodah Zarah that proves to the contrary that Schir is not Kanya. What's the Rai? Vatanan. After Makam Sha'amal Haskir, Lola Beis Dira Amru, there's a Mishnah at the end of the first parak of Avodah Zarah that tells us that one is not permitted under any circumstances, we'll see as the sugya goes on, but some exceptions are, but after Makom She'amru, it would appear there are no exceptions to this rule, that you're not allowed to rent a house to an Oved Avodah Zarah, to an Achum. Why is that? Very, very simple. What's he going to do? I'm going to rent my house to this non-Jew. He's going to go in, bring all his furniture into the house. And when he brings his beds and his tables and his chairs into the house, he's also going to bring his idols into the house. He's going to bring his Avodah Zarah into the house. So what does that have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. You know why? Because the Torah says, Lo Savi So Eval Beisecha. There's an Issa Deraisa in the pashtus to bring Avodah Zarah to your house. And that Issa, the Gemara seems to be violated, even though I'm not the one who's doing the bring. It's not just Lo Savi Soeva, I'm not allowed to bring it. I'm not allowed to have Avodah Zarah in my property. So when I rent a house to the Oved Avodah Zarah, and he brings his pestle, he brings his idol in, that's my problem. Lo Savi Soeva El Beisecha, says the Gemara, wait a second. Why is that a problem? If you really believe that Tzchirus is kind of, like we just said by Chometz, when the guy brings in his idols, he's bringing it to his house, not my house. So make up your mind. It's a rented house. I'm the owner of the house, and I signed a contract with you. You lease the house for 6 months. Who is the owner of that house? Is that called my bias or not called my bias? So for Hilchos Chometz purposes, we just got finished saying it's not called my bias. And Yichud HaBayis is okay, and Tzchirus is Kanya, it's the guy's house, it's not my problem. And the same breath, the mission of Avodah Zarah says, but it is a problem of Lasavi Soeva Beisecha. So, pardon my ignorance of Diktuk, how can it be called Beisecha, not be called Batechem? It's the same thing. Who owns the house? So make up your mind. Does the masker, does the original landlord still the bottom in the house or not? How can it be for Chometz purposes he lost his bailus, and for Avodah Zarah he still retains his bailus? Says the Gemara, no, it's not a stira. Shani hocha da'afkir rechamana b'loshen lo yimotzei. Misha motzi biyadcha yotzeh shenu motzi biyadcha. Says the Gemara, it depends on different areas of halacha. There are some areas of halacha that only depend on bailus. Pure bailus, it's a pure cheshe, mishma didi moment is question. Avodah Zarah, the Torah says, lo savi so'eva el beisecha. Define beisecha. Beisecha, you bought the house. It's your house. The fact that you're renting out the house to the guy, whatever you do anything, schiris lokan. He has the rights to use the house, but he doesn't own the house. So it's still you have an Azar problem. That's why the Mishnah of an Azar says, lo, lebeis divi, you're not allowed to rent out a house to a guy. If he's going to move in there, bring his idols into the house. When it comes to chametz, in order to be over by Rabbi Matzei, there's more than one condition that has to be met. It's not enough just to be bateichem. It's got to be lo yimatzei bevateichem. Yimatzei has a certain connotation that it's found to you. It's accessible, easily accessible to you. Yimatzei has that connotation of not just it's my house in Cheshim Mishpera. On the books, it's my house. I'm the one who's using it. I'm the one who's spatzering. I'm the one who has easy, free access in and out. If I set up an arrangement with the guy, yichel abayis still means I say to the non-Jew, this is your corner. I'm not coming there. We sign a contract that says I'm renting you or I'm lending you the house for a week. I'm not going to come down to the basement. The basement is yours. Who owns the basement? The Jew owns the basement. 100% it's the Jew's basement. If the guy brings an idol in, the Jew's in violation of lo savi soev beisecha. But just because you're over lo savi soev beisecha doesn't mean you're over by Rabbi Matzei. Because to be over by Rabbi Matzei, it's not enough just to be bevateichem. It has to be yimatzei, it's going to be davar matzei bevateichem. And matzei has the connotation, it's something that's easily available and accessible to you. The minute that you rent it out to the guy, that's nisht matzei. So it's not a p'tur bevateichem, it's a p'tur learned out from the word yimatzei.
Don't you have a chayus over that? In the cabinet in the basement?
It doesn't matter, but again, it may be Kabbalah Sechrayas, but it's not called Yimotzei Bevateichem.
But the different chayus we said before is a form of ownership.
Right.
So why isn't that contradict? What does that mean that I sell it to him? I still
own it. No, I didn't sell it. I didn't sell the chametz. The chametz really just belonged to the guy. I is Kabbalah Sechrayas, which means that it's Dina like it's my chametz. And now I'm renting out the area to the guy. I'm no longer accessible to that chametz. I can't get there anymore without knocking on the door and asking his permission because I entered into the agreement of Yichel Abayis. So comes the Gemara and says that even though it's my chametz because of Kabbalah Sechrayas, it's my chametz in my bayis, I'm still not over by Rabbi Matzah. Because to be over by Rabbi Matzah, it has to be chametz shalcha in a bayis shalcha, hamotzu lecha. You need a lot of conditions to be over by Rabbi Matzah. So by Rabbi Matzah and Avodah Zarah part ways. But at least Lagabi Avodah Zarah, we stick to our guns. That it's mutter based on the principle. I'm sorry. It's also based on the principle schiris lo kanya. So it's this principle that's the guiding force in the entire sugya. Schiris lo kanya. Chametz the difference. It's a quirk of lo yimatzei, but schiris lo kanya. Pashtas the chol dinya tayra schiris lo kanya. So this is a loaded statement because there is a sugya in the fourth paragraph of Bava Metzia where the Gemara is talking about a totally different area of halacha, where the Gemara seems to say the exact opposite. That's Chirus is Kanya, concerning other halachas. So that's going to set the stage for the next sugya. The next sugya is going to be about what are the parameters of renting out the houses to the goyim and not renting out the houses to the goyim, how this plays out as manazeh. Everything hinges upon the three magic words, Chirus Lokanya. So before we can figure out what this means for us, tachlis, as manazeh for our non-Jewish tenants, we have to first figure out what that rule means, Chirus Lokanya. Is it really 100% true? Are there exceptions to that rule? So we have really two parts of the sugya. First is the pure cheshe mishpat part, to figure out what Chirus Lokanya versus Chirus Kanya really means. And then number two, to try to figure out, hopefully the Yardaya part, how this plays out for us, Allah l'maisel. But starting Friday, we'll continue with this sugya.